I'm John Batchelor with my good colleague Gene Marks, back from the road. However, we turn now to something that lives in imagination: artificial intelligence and American business ambitions. There are surveys, there are confidence of AI being the future, there are doubts of AI being the future. What's going on Wall Street has a lot to do with gamblers, but the part that's not gambling is, am I buying tulips or am I buying a something that'll make money? Gene, McKinsey has a survey of companies adopting AI. It looks impressive, 88%. But what does it mean? Do we know?
Yeah, there's another alternative. And by the way, John, when you just for your audience, I do write in the places that you just mentioned to every week. But yeah, please don't forget, I write for Forbes. I cover technology at Forbes. I've been doing this for 20 years. And I'm doing it 6 to 8 times a month. And for the past 2 years, I've really been covering nothing but AI. And so these surveys really do interest me, including what's real and what's hype for AI in business, you know? So, you know, to your question, McKinsey's survey found that 88% of the companies they serve, and these are like Fortune 1000 companies, are adopting AI, but they are quick to point out that scaling it remains limited. So the adoption part of it is companies that are using AI in test scenarios in very limited parts. Big tech companies are moving towards using AI internally because AI really can and is replacing programmers. It can really do the job of many low and mid-level programmers. And we are seeing a lot of programming developer jobs being lost because AI is replacing them. The other area is customer service is the big area where AI is making some inroads right now. I've always talked about the company, Klarna, the buy now, pay later service. They've recently announced that their AI investments are, reducing headcount because they're able to answer customer questions with their AI chatbots that much quicker. So scaling is limited when it comes to uses of AI in other parts of businesses. But where we're seeing it really start to make inroads right now is customer service and in technology companies for software development. Over the next few years, based on the interviews that I'm doing and the companies I'm covering, they're moving more towards agentic AI, which means not just asking questions and getting answers like generative AI, but actually having AI perform tasks on your behalf. That technology is starting to roll out. It's very new. It needs to be tested more. But I am predicting, as fast as things are moving in 2027 and 2028, we are going to start seeing jobs being lost as agentic AI starts making its way into accounting, finance, marketing, engineering, other areas of companies that, tasks can be performed by a bot and then reviewed by a human. So I expect to see that coming soon. So scaling is limited, according to McKinsey, but I think that's going to improve over the next couple of years.
There is pushback, and the pushback comes in terms of unions and people who are elected because they take care of unions. Their concern is layoffs. Now, here's the puzzle. Verizon announces 14,000 layoffs. I think a comparable number at Amazon. These are firms with millions of people employed, so understand, I hesitate to say this is crushing. This isn't the plant closed on Friday. However, there are other Costco and Target and Walmarts. All of them are looking to lay off people. Is that because of the economy or is that because of AI? I'm told, Gene, you can't tell the difference sometimes.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you're asking these questions because I wrote about this for The Hill just another, a week or so ago about all of these layoffs that are going on. And it is, I just want to be clear, the layoffs that we are reading about, and there are they totaling up to like millions of jobs across all industries globally. And these are like the big brands. A very small percentage of these layoffs are really due to AI. Larger percentages at some companies like a Meta or an Amazon or a Microsoft where, they are using AI, like I just said, to do the work of developers. But for most companies, these layoffs are nothing more than typical mismanagement of corporate America. They hire. They make their predictions. The predictions don't come to fruition. They have reorganizations. They have slowdowns in certain divisions. They have missteps in other divisions. And then, of course, they've just got bloat. They bring on employees that aren't really up to snuff. And so, big companies do this all the time. They have rounds of layoffs to cut the fat and try to make themselves, leaner as possible. This happens, around every recession, and companies can blame the layoffs on these recessions. But we haven't had a recession since COVID. It's going on 5 years now. So it's been 5 years that companies have had the opportunity to build up their staffs. And now they're like, we don't need all of these staffs, or some of these staffs aren't really competent. So we have to find an excuse. Now the media has just latched on to, well, it's AI that, that's the reason behind this. And I just know it's not. And John, proof in the pudding, I have some large corporate clients that I work with. I swear to God, there's not a Zoom call I go on where there's not less than 20 people on a call, And I think to myself, what are all these people doing? I mean, you could get rid of a third of them and nobody would even know the difference. And apparently I'm not the only one that thinks that way. I think corporate management knows that as well. And that is what's going on. It is a timing thing. It is not necessarily AI, at least not yet.
I want to contribute one observation from my experience with Grok, yep. My experience with Claude at Anthropic, my experience with Gemini at Microsoft, and Google LM Notebook at Google. All right. You must check. Must. There is no expectation that you can ever take a human out of the chain. They make mistakes. They will correct themselves if you point them out. Example, having a talk with Grok one night, I said, give me the names and birth dates of Xi Jinping's brothers. He has no brothers. Yes, he does. He has a brother. And then, oh, my bad, comes back. He has a half-brother. I said, Ara, you're being legalistic. That's a brother. Yes, it is. Give me the number. She did. Check it again. She checked it again. She changed again. That was a genuinely helpful dialogue because she wasn't stuck on her first take.
Yes.
She corrected herself. There will need to be humans in all these chains, no matter how AI an office becomes, is my observation.
It will never be perfect. But then again, what assistant is perfect, right? I mean, if you were having this conversation with a researcher for yourself or a staff member, staff members make mistakes. Assistants make mistakes. So it was your AI assistant,
I'm just reminding there are going to be new jobs here.
Yeah, there are. I tell you what people don't talk about, John, is the opportunities that will be created because of AI. And, one of the things because I've been thinking about this so much, how, the people in the creative field, all of the young people that are out there that are, artists and creators of films and that kind of content now are soon in their hands will be the types of technology where they can create all sorts of content that they would never have been able to be funded to do before. And that is going to, build jobs. It's going to build wealth. You're going to have actors out there that will be licensing their image to some AI platform, which can then be used in these creators, videos. We saw the transformation with YouTube, right, John? It used to be the time like the only way you could get, your message to a mass audience, you had to be on, CBS News with Walter Cronkite. Now anybody can go on YouTube and make their own TV show. And it's going to quickly become that way with AI tools. You will be able to go and create your own content using AI, full-length movies that will look like the real thing. That's going to create a whole economy.
Right.
A whole economy. And and that's just one small opportunity that I think that AI is going to present to the world. It's just going to be a different world and a better world. But we shouldn't be afraid of it. We should be embracing these things. I think it's very exciting what's coming up.
Gene Marks.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.